broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We're sorry for the massive disruption it's caused to their lives.
So I definitely agree that the law is unfair, but I don't. It's not going to result in a boycott.
I thought when we elected a black president, we were going to get a black president.
As soon as he walks in the door, he is supposed to take out the things, lose the glass.
Do drugs.
Did you ever smoke, Wolf?
No, not really.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our show tonight, where truth is our bitch and where we take you through the looking glass to find that truth. And you can get a little more truth if you watch our videocast, our uncensored videocast, starting at 9 o'clock Pacific every night, 12 midnight on the East Coast. That is our uncensored video cast, which is available to our backstage pass holders. Just go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. You can watch the uncensored video cast, and then you see the show. You can watch us performing the show, and then like that, you know, and you can hear the archives, all kinds of stuff. Download the audio. It's all there for you at philhendryshow.com. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. It's great to be with you this evening. We have Margaret Gray, who will be starting things out tonight. We wanted to bring Margaret on because I know she's written a couple of pieces in her daily column. A little bird told me about the Gores, and we're going to talk about the Gores. Later on, we have Bobby and Steve Dooley on to talk about young people, and at least at their community, there's a discussion going on right now about when kids move out. When do kids move out? And, you know, this is graduation time, so I suppose, you know, it's a discussion some families have. But I know a lot of kids will move out when they go to college, but some kids come home, some kids don't go to college right away, and so forth. Here's to kind of lead things off, and we'll get Margaret up on the line here, and I know that you're in transit, Margaret, to a function this evening, but basically the story here in the Christian Science Monitor, did you see this?
I heard a little bit about it. I didn't see the entire thing.
Well, the Monitor basically wrote that late-life breakups like Al and Tipper Gore's are even harder on women.
Well, I don't doubt that that is the case, I think, with a lot of women. I think there's a lot of information that needs to be conveyed to a lot of women. But I think when you're talking about the Gore's, you're talking about a marriage, Phil, and a relationship that is a step above a great many other relationships. But I will say this. There is a lot to be learned there from the Gores. There's a lot to be learned for couples out in your listening audience tonight, I think.
Well, here the article goes on to say, and I quote, the conventional wisdom that men do better financially in divorce than women is even more true. What conventional wisdom is that?
Well, men do much better than women when it comes to divorce financially.
You got to be kidding me! It may be true. I'm not saying that it is whether it's true or not, but that's not the conventional wisdom. That is not the conventional wisdom. The conventional wisdom is that the women make out better than the men. I don't know who wrote this. Wait a minute. I'll bet you anything it was a woman. Yep, Timothy Clary.
Well, you're joking around now, Phil.
I find that really funny, but that's not what the show's about tonight, or not what I wanted to talk about. I mean, if you want to add something to that, I just don't think that conventional wisdom, being what it is, that is the popular concept, the popular belief that women don't do as well as men in divorce, I don't think that that's true.
I have to tell you, I don't know. You might be right, but the fact is men in reality do much, much better in divorce. Much, much better.
Well, you know what? That's an argument you and I are going to have on another day. But let's talk about this idea that women are doing worse in divorce when it comes to a long-standing marriage. Divorcing at a late age can sometimes leave women struggling to make up for lost retirement plans and health insurance policies at a time when it is difficult to re-enter the workforce. Late-life breakups like Al and Tipper Gore's even harder on women. You know, I didn't get you to weigh in on this, but I know that your column this morning had to do with Tipper Gore not keeping up.
Well, I think that was a big part of it, Phil. I don't think when you look at the Gores, and let's be realistic now, I'm talking to your audience. I have known Al and Tipper Gore for over 15 years. when you look at what has been going on with his life, it almost seems stunning that she did not pick up a few of the clues. And by that I mean, she didn't pick up the need for her to stay up, I think, a little bit better than she did with Al, and what his life was demanding. Now
what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by it is this. And I want to be very clear with what I'm saying. There is a piece of surgery right now that is called vaginoplasty. And I'm sorry to have to bring this up.
Whoa. What is that?
It is called vaginoplasty. It is the rejuvenation or the tightening of a woman.
Okay. It is the rejuvenation or the tightening of a woman's private area.
That is correct. It is a surgical procedure to tighten these muscles. And it is called vaginoplasty. Now, why am I bringing that up? I am bringing it up because there are any number of things that a woman in advancing years, as Tipper Gore is, should do. But, and here is really the most interesting part of this, this isn't just the Tipper Gore who is a housewife living in a neighborhood with a husband who is successful but is not a world player on the world stage. This is very much a Tipper Gore who is with a husband who is successful, who is on the world stage. And she has never really gotten that, from what I understand. She'd never really recognized the playing field. She never really recognized the players. She, I think, was caught completely unawares when Al lost the presidential election in 2000, and his life began to take on a much more varied and a much more, I don't know, a less political direction. She was caught absolutely unaware. And I really don't think there's any excuse for it when you were a woman, any woman, but particularly a woman married to one of the most professional, famous men on earth, and quite possibly one of the most popular men on earth.
All right, so we're talking here with Margaret Gray. Margaret is the writer of A Little Bird Told Me, which is a nationally syndicated column. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Now, you're saying that Tipper Gore somehow is to blame here.
No, I'm not saying she's to blame. I'm just saying, Phil, if you want to play the game, if you want to play the game of Hollywood wife, if you want to play the game of wife, of husband, who is going places, the result, for instance, if you have this surgery, this vaginoplasty, the result is an immediate decrease in the size of muscles. It results in more friction. The patient is usually able to walk comfortably within a few days. These are not once was this anything that she considered.
Well, you're bringing up this surgery. I don't want to keep beating the name of the surgery. You know.
No, I understand.
But it's some surgery on a female sex organ that Tipper Gore didn't have.
I'm using it as an example of the improvements she did not make to stay apace of Al Gore. I'm not saying that his life was great. I'm not saying his life was necessarily a bad thing. I am saying that if you're going to be married to an Al Gore, and really, Phil, if you're going to be married to a modern American man, you have to make these moves.
So Tipper Gore not getting this vaginoplasty, not getting any of these other kinds of enhancements. You're talking about, for instance, breast enhancement?
I don't. In her case, when we look at Tipper, we're looking at a woman that I think really needed to start addressing some of those weight issues. I don't know that breast enhancement was necessarily on the agenda. I do think that the various forms of fat transfers, the liposuctions, or whatever. Number two, you know that they bought a home in Montecito. You're aware of that, right?
That the Gores bought a home where?
You are aware of the fact that the Gores bought a home in Montecito.
Montecito?
Yes.
I was not aware of that, no.
You were not aware of...
I was not aware that they bought a home in Montecito.
An $8.8 million home in Montecito. So you don't have a comment on that?
Well, okay, so what, there's a lot of people that live in Montecito that are famous.
Well, first of all, a lot of people that live in Montecito that are famous is true. Oprah Winfrey lives in Montecito. Now, if you're Al Gore and you are having some serious conversations with Oprah Winfrey to the point where you are moving into the same neighborhood with her, if you're Tipper Gore, you've got to pay attention to that. If you're any man's wife, you've got to pay attention to that. I don't know if it means breast implants. I don't know if it means collagen. I don't know if it means facelift. I don't know if it's hair extensions. This is all a part of the job of a wife of a world-class husband. And the job of a wife of a world-class husband is to stay awake to what is going on. And Tipper Gore, Phil, she fell asleep at the switch.
So you're blaming Tipper Gore for this breakup.
I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming the fact that the circumstances of her life changed. And she couldn't keep up. She didn't keep up. She refused to keep up. I don't know. But when your husband makes an obvious move and buys an $8.8 million home in Montecito, and you know why he's doing that, because he wants Oprah Winfrey's ear, and you don't pick up on that, and I have to imagine there are a number of plastic surgeons who are very conversant with the vaginoplasty in Montecito.
Margaret, you're saying that Tipper Gore should have known if they're moving to Montecito, Al's going to want to talk television with Oprah, and she's got to go out and get a vaginoplasty surgery. You know,
no, I'm saying there are a number of plastic surgeons in the area had she opted for that. And these other things that I was talking about. And frankly, Phil, I think she should have. I think that was the sign that Al was looking for.
Do you think he made the decision?
I do. I really do. And that's what I'm hearing.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray will put on hold here for just a moment as we talk about Alan Tipper Gore, the difficulty of a divorce on the woman, the longer the marriage, and the fact, in Margaret's mind and in some of the things she's written, that Tipper Gore didn't realize her husband was on his way to a life in Hollywood, and she didn't keep up with many of these surgical procedures that she should have, breast implant, tummy tuck, hair extensions, having the collagen in the lips, and a very controversial new surgery called vaginoplasty. It was her fault, and Al apparently decided to make a clean break of it. I don't know whether this is, you know, it seems to me it's putting a lot of burden on the woman, but we'll get your calls on this and your questions for Margaret Gray at 877-876-PHIL. Tipper Gore, knowing that her husband was leaving Washington and going to Hollywood, did she drop the ball on trying to keep herself fit and presentable for a world-class husband? 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray on the line with us. We're talking here about the Gores, Al and Tipper Gore. And, you know, we didn't talk about it last night because, really, we had a lot of other things to talk about, and it's not a story that necessarily is going to go away. The article in the Christian Science Monitor about how women suffer more when it is a marriage of great length, you're agreeing with that, you know?
Well, Phil, to a degree, I'm agreeing. I'm not agreeing with it 100% from... You know, there's a certain, I think, mindset that women are somehow victims, and oh, poor me. No, we are not victims. We have every opportunity to see where our husbands are heading and to chart a course maybe 50 to 100 yards ahead of them if you wanted to use a sort of a cross-country idea. Tipper Gore had four children. Now, I'm going to, and I don't know, Phil, if you want to go to a phone call.
We've got some phone calls here, but I want to, you know, continue with it. I'll give the number out, 877-876-PHIL. But you had a point you wanted to make?
I want to do a little test here. Tipper Gore had four children. Now, she knows she had the four children. Al knows she had the four children. Now they are moving to Hollywood. Okay.
She had four children. Al knows it. She knows it. They're moving to Hollywood. What?
I said to you, and the vaginoplasty surgery, I think it's something.
Oh, look, this is, I don't want to keep talking about it. Are you saying because of the four children?
Yes, I'm saying that. There are even pictures of the before and the after on some of these sites if you want to look at them. Jane Fonda got her breasts enhanced. Why? Because she was married to Ted Turner. She was Henry Jane, and she turned into Barbie. Elizabeth Edwards had four children. What happened?
John Edwards had an affair.
Bingo. Give the man a panda bear. That's what I'm talking about.
So in other words, if you want to keep your man, you better get with it. If you don't...
No. Not if you want to keep your man. There's some men, but if you want to keep a world-class man. And the reason why I brought up vaginoplasty is because that is the latest...
All right, I understand. 877-876-PHIL. So if you want to keep your man, especially a world-class man, don't blow it the way Tipper Gore did and not have these surgical procedures to look Hollywood. I mean, that's really what you're saying. Here's Mary in Los Angeles. Go ahead.
No, not Hollywood.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying that Al Gore is going to go out to Montecito and meet Oprah Winfrey. Okay.
He has to. No, not Hollywood. Professional.
Mary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I agree with her, and she doesn't like women, and the reason why today...
Mary, I'm going to ask you something. I don't know where you are, but get closer to the phone, please, okay? Because it's cutting in and out.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
That this kind of vaginoplasty, the reason why women have problems with bulimia and all the rest of it. Al Gore, if they
I beg your pardon. Bulimia? What does bulimia have to do with vaginoplasty?
Well,
we're talking about...
About is what is that women have to go out and get their vaginas altered so that some man can have pleasure. That's ridiculous.
I think you go out and have your vagina altered because your husband is moving you into next door to Oprah Winfrey.
I don't know where you get this information that a woman has vaginoplasty to keep her husband. It's ridiculous.
He is moving in next door to Oprah Winfrey. You know there are going to be a lot of discussions.
Yeah, but why does she have to have that particular kind of surgery moving in next door to Oprah Winfrey?
Because you know it's going to come up. Oprah, what does she do on her show? If you're sitting having coffee... I'm sorry?
Not promote vagina.
All right, you know what? Your telephone is just a hard thing to listen to. Mary, thanks. 877-876-PHIL. Why don't you finish your thought, Margaret, and we'll go on to another phone call.
Well, where is the lady?
Her telephone was cutting in and out. It was driving me nuts.
Well, no, I would simply say that if Oprah Winfrey is sitting and having coffee with you, and she looks across the coffee table, because you're her neighbor, and she says, and Tipper... You know there's such a thing as vaginoplasty. Do you want me to sign you up, or do you want the number of my doctor? Something like that. You have to be conversant with that. And you might even want to say, you know what, I've already had it done.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Valerie in Anchorage, Alaska. Valerie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I was just listening
to
her, and I would say to anybody, I would say, if I have to do that, if I have to have all that invasive surgery to keep my husband, I don't want him anyway.
You don't want your husband to be proud of you?
If my husband
because
isn't proud of me for who I am, then there is no reason to keep him around.
Well, no. It's not that he's not proud of you. It's that you're going to be traveling in circles that are a little bit more elevated than perhaps what you were used to.
Oh, give me a break. if those women are so vain that they have to go have tummy tucks and vagina plasties, and they're not the kind of women you want to associate with anyway.
Can I ask you a question? Do you admire or at least want to talk to, I can hear the music.
Yeah, we got to take a break. Valerie, thank you for your call. 877-876. Phil, Margaret Gray on the line. We'll get back to what it was she was going to talk about. Tipper Gore ought to get some surgery, though. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we continue here with Margaret Gray, our number 877-876-PHIL. And we are also online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, if you want to watch the show or listen to the show. I've got a tickle in my throat here. Hold on.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. It must be an allergy. It can't possibly be a cold because it's a little late in the season. But we're talking about Tipper Gore. The breakup of the Gores, it happens. We're not saying this is some kind of an American tragedy. It happens. You are putting this on Tipper.
I'm not so much putting it on Tipper as I'm saying there were things she could have done, signs that she could have read, things she might have done for her husband Al, who obviously was leaving the political arena and was going into something called what? Into television. Going into something called television, going into something called motion picture, and traveling in those circles.
All right, but Margaret, you may say that and I understand that the former vice president was going into television and traveling in those circles, and they had purchased a home in Montecito, which you think is significant. You think that they bought that home in Montecito to get Oprah's ear? I mean, why couldn't he just, you know, have Oprah's ear no matter where he lives in the country?
Well, you know something, Phil? It's one thing to pick up the phone and say, "Hi, Oprah, this is Al Gore. I live in Washington," and it's a very special thing. It's another thing entirely, I think, to knock on the door and say, "Hi, Al and Tipper, and we're here, and we're neighbors, and let's talk about television, let's talk about what I have to do." And you have in tow this, and I don't mean to say in tow, but you have this wife, 4 children later, and she won't even discuss vagioplasty.
This discussion of vagioplasty, which you say should take place because Oprah's going to bring it up.
We're talking with Phil. Really, what we're talking about here is trying to tighten and to improve. Now, if Oprah Winfrey is asking you questions about that at a breakfast table, let me put every American woman listening to me right now in her shoes, in Tipper Gore's shoes. You're sitting having breakfast with Oprah Winfrey, and she's discussing a variety of things. It could be vagioplasty. It could be the reduction. It could be labiaplasty. It could be the unhooding of...
All right, can we... This is very, very graphic, and my audience may not necessarily appreciate how graphic it is.
All right, but you know the kind of surgery I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey is discussing this, and you're Tipper Gore, and you haven't got a clue what she's talking about. You're sitting there, all 190 pounds of you, 4 children later, and your husband he's trying desperately to stay afloat. He is trying desperately to dog paddle his way through this water, through these very challenging waters called contact with Oprah Winfrey, and you have not done the groundwork necessary where he can walk in with you and say, "Here is my wife. She knows about labiaplasty."
I don't understand why Oprah Winfrey is going to want to talk about all of these things. You know,
in case, Phil, is what I'm saying. And the surgery that a lot of women have had done before they come out to Hollywood. Why is it that women don't understand that this is part of their job? You know, you really... for me, Phil, this is a major commentary on our society.
Well, Margaret, blaming Tipper Gore because she didn't have these kinds of surgeries, that she was not ready to be a Hollywood wife, that she doesn't know what vagioplasty is, she doesn't know what labiaplasty is, she doesn't know what some of these other bizarre surgeries are.
Well, there is something about filing or plumping out the shrunk.
I don't want to get into the specifics of these surgeries.
Well, unless we do, Phil, we've got a lot of women out there that are going to be lost. They are going to be lost if their husbands ever really want to travel in some moneyed circles.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Let me go to a phone call in Wilmington, Delaware. Listening to us on WWKB tonight is George. George, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to say your guest, she's way off the mark. I don't think it has anything to do with Hollywood or where he moved to, anything like that. I think at the loss of the presidency, I think he overcompensated by getting involved in too many things and caused a sort of a drip.
Well, what did he get involved in, though? But what did he get involved in? He got involved in, ta-da, television.
He's involved in this, you know, the green, and he's been to have all of these foundations. He was involved in a lot of things, and he has
exactly.
He was a family man to start the drifting away from the family, and I just think
he was very much a family. He was very much a family man, but his wife could have stayed with him. His wife could have stayed with him.
Hey, let me speak. I think it was a matter of him getting involved in too many things and just sort of drifting apart. They just
I heard that. But nowhere in what you're saying have you mentioned.
All right, Margaret.
This is ludicrous. You know,
nowhere in what you have said have you mentioned the word vagioplasty. Why?
Why would he?
Nowhere in what you have said have you mentioned vagioplasty. Why not?
I can't understand you. I'm not understanding.
The reason why you can't understand me is because you're not listening.
Nowhere in anything you said have you mentioned the word labiaplasty.
Oh, for crying out loud. All right. I know what you said, and he can't hear me, and you can't hear me, and nobody can hear anybody. But the point that we're saying, I think the point you're making, Margaret, and that George disagrees with, is that Al Gore just drifted away from the family, being involved in so many different things.
And what he's not hearing is that she could have drifted with him had she done something with all of that fat.
All of that fat?
Yes.
All right. George, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray on the line with us as we talk about the Al and Tipper Gore separation. All of the fat that you're talking about. You know, we live in a day and age where women who are full-figured are attractive. Now you're saying...
No. She was obese.
Well, what do you call full-figured?
What do I call full-figured? I call... I don't understand. Kate Winslet is full-figured. I think that in many ways when you look at... the young lady, I think she, Sandra Bullock, is very full-figured.
Sandra Bullock is what you would call full-figured. Don't you have some pretty stringent standards there?
I don't know what you're talking about. Sandra Bullock is full-figured, but no. Tipper Gore was obese. Now, if we're talking about some improvements that she could have made, I realize it's too late. But she could have started with the labiaplasty, moved on to having her eyebrows done. So many things that would have helped her husband's career in the long run. People don't understand what I'm talking about, Phil. I've told you a million times. I come on your program and talk about these things. You have an audience made up primarily of blue-collar workers.
No, I don't. No, I do not.
Well, I don't know.
You know, what do you mean blue-collar workers? We're talking about, well, you're saying that people are not in the Hollywood vein, perhaps not.
Well, Phil... This is something that women who have husbands who travel in the rarefied air understand. My husband's going places. If I want to go with him, I better visit someone who's got some kind of a suction pipe for something, you know. By the way, Kate, who is it? Katie Holmes, Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Garner, all full-figured.
Jennifer Garner, full-figured. All right, we'll take a break here. Our number, 877-876 Phil, as we talk about the Gores, Tipper, and Al, and the breakup of their 40-year marriage because Tipper herself was, well, she just didn't get it done. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. And BP has another setback as an oil slick threatens Florida. So
this another leak?
This ain't another leak, man. This is the same leak. But now the leak is going out to Florida.
I thought they had a leak at 40 days, man. 40 days, nothing. They haven't touched any land at all. BP, I think they're great.
Great? What are they great about?
Yeah, there's no oil that's being anywhere.
Are you guys stupid or something? The BP oil slick drifted perilously close to the Florida panhandle.
Yeah, but it hadn't made land yet. It had been 43 days they haven't made land. 43 days they kept that oil out of there.
Do you know what's going on underneath the water? Do you understand what's going on underneath the water?
Yeah, there's fish.
Yeah, there's fish, huh? Is that what you think is going on under the water? Fish, huh?
There's a lot of oil.
Damn right there's a lot of oil. You know how much oil? There's a whole big fat cloud of oil sitting under there. A big fat cloud of oil sitting under there. And that oil sitting there the way it does is polluting below the surface, okay? So you guys can talk about how it hasn't hit land yet. You know full well it's going to hit land. That stuff is down there, and it is like a mess. So anyway, this oil slick...
What's it going to do? It's going to kill fish.
Yeah, it's going to kill fish, man. Plant life. It's called ecology, baby. You know what ecology is?
No. I mean, that...
Yeah, you go there for school.
Not college, ecology.
Ecology.
Give me the thing.
Oh!
ECOLOGY, college.
Yeah, they're not talking about that.
Look, at all I'm telling you, clowns, is this. The oil goes under the water, it kills all these fish, it kills all these plants, and the next thing you know, you have a dead zone, man. You have like a dead area, and it could expand. It could go well past the Gulf into the Atlantic Ocean, God knows where else, the Caribbean. Do you understand that we have those beautiful coral reefs down there? We have plant life, we have fish life, we have sea life, all through the Caribbean. The species that would be affected probably are in the thousands. Now, these jackasses at BP...
I don't like you calling that, man. They're trying the best they can.
Oh, well, give them a cookie. Oh, excuse me.
They're doing everything they can to stop it.
Well, isn't that great? You ever heard the man say, I don't want your best, I want the job done? You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I believe in. That's my own personal philosophy. I don't give a crap about your best. You can take your best and you can flush it. I want the job done. That whole bull crap about I did the best I could. Do you know there's a whole generation of kids that have been raised on that? I did the best I could. And they were told by their parents that that's all. If you could do the best you did good. Well, that may be true. That may be true. But don't ever have them pull that in a workplace. You're going to walk up to a boss or someplace where they need the job done. I did the best I could. You think you're going to get a raise?
Well, all I'm saying is that a very difficult situation.
Difficult situation that these jackasses started.
Yeah, but they're down 5,000 feet.
Well, if you're drilling 5,000 feet down, man, don't you think you want to take into consideration you're that deep?
I think things go wrong. Look at all the spaceship that blew up. Look at all them astronauts that blew up.
Yeah, that's right. The space program, a lot of guys blowed up.
The space program, a lot of guys blowed up.
Yeah.
So you're saying mistakes happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what you have to understand... is that when mistakes happen, we learn and we get better.
All right. Okay. I'll give you that. Mistakes happen. We learn, we get better. That's the reality of technology.
Right.
But the fact is, it's still leaking, ain't it? The fact is, these guys have been drilling oil in the Gulf and everywhere else for a long damn time, haven't they?
I don't know. How long have they been drilling oil out of the Gulf?
I don't know, man.
See, that's it. You ought to be more informed.
I'm going to belt somebody in a minute. You guys understand what I'm talking about. So anyway...
I think he won that point.
I don't give a crap if he won the point. Robert, here, the point that I'm making to you, and you know, you can say anything you want, that BP's doing the best they can. That's just wunderbar, you know? And like I said, give them a cookie. Maybe they can share the Nobel Peace Prize there with Al Gore. Maybe we can all kiss their ass, man, and it'll just be a wonderful day. But the fact of the matter remains, even with their best, BP's best ain't cutting it. And right now they got God knows how many millions of gallons of oil. So what they tried today was some other kind of a stopgap. Now, it was a risky gambit, according to Yahoo News, to contain the leak by shearing off the well pipe. But it ran into trouble a mile into the sea when the diamond-tipped saw became stuck. The saw sliced through about half of the pipe when it snagged. It took BP 12 hours to free it. The company said preparations were being made to resume cutting, but didn't give a timetable on when it might start. The plan is to saw off the pipe and fit a cap on the blown-out well at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico to capture most of the spewing oil. The twisted, broken pipe must be sliced first to allow a snug fit. I don't think the issue is whether or not we can make the second cut. It's about how fine we can make it, how smooth we can make it, etc. You know, during the pre-show, we were talking...
You were talking about people doing a job.
Well, you know, I mean, we were talking in the pre-show about the reason why, and we've said it on the show before, the reason why we love guys like Sullenberger, the reason why we watch movies like Apollo 13, the reason why, you know, Apollo 13, okay.
Yeah, but see, they almost died.
Would you just shut up for a minute?
He's right.
You don't know what I'm going to say. Yeah, it was a space mission that went wrong because of a variety of problems, and like you guys said, they happen, don't they?
Yeah.
All right. But what they did is they took a look at, and this was a situation that they screwed that up, man. They were going to lose the lives of three men. They were going to lose the life. The whole world was watching. The whole world was watching three lives in a balance, basically, that Apollo 13 thing. So these cats got together down there in Houston, and they put together an agenda and a checklist and a process by which they were able to save the lives of those men, get them all the way from outer space, and that thing blew up on their way to space. You know, that pipe blew up.
What? The oil pipe?
What oil pipe?
BP.
I'm talking about outer space, man.
Oh, Apollo.
Yeah. The oil pipe.
Well, I thought you was talking about...
I'm talking about Apollo 13.
Oh.
That thing blew up on their way to the moon. They had to swing around the moon. And as the man said there in the documentary that I watched, and I read the book that was Jim Lovell's book, Lost Moon. That's a great book. And they based Apollo 13 on that, the movie with Tom Hanks. They had to slingshot him around the moon. Now, this was an achievement that goes down in history because it is working on the fly with technology, with materials that are very, very limited. You're talking about outer space. You're talking about human life and saving it. I mean, I can't even imagine the pressure those men were under. They had to figure out how much electricity they needed to save. They had to figure out what materials were on board so they could use those materials, so they could come up with ways to filter out the carbon dioxide that they were in danger of choking to death on. They had to figure out how they were going to do these burns, lacking the computer that they'd shut down because they didn't have any numbers to go by. They had to shut the computer down because they needed to save the energy. So they had to literally navigate with the moon and the earth and the wind. I mean, they were doing all kinds of things that really called upon the piloting skills of Lovell. And it's got, thank God, man, they picked pilots to be in the Apollo and to be in the space program.
What were they going to have?
You know, when they first opened up the space program back in the 60s, they had clowns, they had acrobats, they had weightlifters.
Are you putting me on?
No, man, they had all kinds of weird asses. You want to be an astronaut? Yeah, and they had all these weird asses. Finally, I think it was Eisenhower, might have been somebody a little bit lower down the food chain, but they said, no, pilots, okay, let's start there. And not just commercial pilots or, you know, civilian pilots, we'll start with military pilots. Okay, great, they finally got that one figured out. Well, thank God they did, because Apollo 13 called upon the piloting skills of those men, particularly Lovell, who was doing those burns. So they saved those men's lives, putting their heads together and coming up with that protocol. Now, this is why we love stories like that. This is why these guys are our heroes. This is why we thirst for these stories, because we live in a time where nobody knows their ass from a hole in the ground, okay?
Yeah, well,
I'd still think BP, you watch.
Hey, but you know something, man? I hope you're right, Robert. I hope BP hits it out of the park. I hope BP caps that son of a bitch, and we learn, and we are somehow able to recover and move on. I hope you're right. But we're so tired of stories about stumbling around these jackballs who can't find it with both hands. And a guy over here is pointing his finger at somebody else. And there's another guy over there that's pointing his finger at that guy. And this guy over there is saying this. and nobody can get their job done. Nobody knows what they're doing. Everybody blaming everybody, and everybody saying the same damn thing. I did my best. And these days, people's best.
Man, you got a pretty bad. If you, I'll tell you now, I agree with what he said.
Don't point at him. What's his name?
Robert.
Don't go like he said.
No. Okay, well, I agree with what Robert said on account of BP will do it.
Yay. Let me just, isn't that inspiring?
All right, man, you be cynical if you want to, but we do.
All right, I hope you're right. So Robert and Bud think that BP's going to knock the ball out of the park. They're going to pull this thing out of the fire. Is that it?
Yeah.
I hope you're right, man. I hope you're right. So far, they suck. So far, they caused the problem, and they have not done much to solve it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.